sincerely chant the holy name of Lord Sri Krishna. We are invoking the supreme power of God into our lives. Lord Sri Krishna's power has many forms and attributes. Shakti. There is the power of his wrath. Which is carried out by his various expansions. But in the spiritual world, the highest realm of divine pleasure, the absolute power of God is manifested through his beauty. We read in Srimad Bhagavat and other of the Bhakti Shastras how the beauty of Krishna's sublime form will literally, utterly captivate the hearts of anyone so fortunate to behold it. The sweetness and beauty of the sound of his flute can attract our minds in such a way that we become aloof from all the pleasures and all the pains of material life. The beauty of his love, the beauty of his mercy. Krishna consciousness means by calling upon the Lord to be captivated and conquered by the power of the beauty and the love of the Supreme Absolute Truth. How wonderful! What every heart is longing for. But in contrary, due to our misfortune, we are seeking relief, seeking pleasure and shelter in this world, which is a place of birth and death, Maritya Loka, where death is imminent wherever we find life. It is simply a matter of when. It is explained in the Bhagavatam, Samashrita ye padapalava plavam mahat padam punya yashomurari kripambudir bhava padam padam yad vipadam mitesham. That those who are intelligent, they make their goal of life in Krishna, in the world of Krishna. They make no goal of life in this world, because this is a world where there is danger at every step. Padam padam yad vipadam natesh. And this we must take literally. With every step we take, how unconscious we are, but we do not know, imminent suffering, pain, or even death can take place. With every breath we breathe, there is danger. And we are creating so many conditions around us to protect us from danger, from suffering, and from death. We have nice house. We get nice locks for our doors. Sometimes, if we can afford it, we even have security guards standing outside with sticks or guns. And we eat only the freshest, purest, most costly foods. And we drink only the most purified bottled waters. And we take proper inoculations and vaccines. And in this way, we try to protect ourselves as far as possible. But what we have all experienced this morning exposes the fallacy of all of our attempts to protect ourselves. Today morning at 3:58, we were all awakened, not by the ringing of our alarm, but by the rumbling of Mother Earth. Our houses were shaking. Things were falling from the shelves. Mother Earth's alarm clock to wake us up to the reality of material existence. Within a matter of 15 seconds or so, at least 6,000 people were killed. They have found 6,000 bodies, and there's still many more below the rubble and the ruins. If 6,000 are killed, how many are injured for life? How many homes, land, property have been utterly destroyed, and they have no means to replace them? We can understand that millions of people's lives have been devastated by a mere 10 or 15 second tremble of the earth. Will your big beautiful house save you? Will your security guards, your bottled water, your fresh foods, or your best medical insurance? The power of material nature is the power of God. No man, no woman could withstand it. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. And even though we get this alarming warning in our life, do we take it seriously? It is a voice of God trying to awaken us from our ignorance and our complacency. In fact, Lord Sri Krishna appeared and he spoke Bhagavad Gita. He gave us the message. But are we listening? Most people in human society, even here in Bharatvarsha, the great land of Dharma, they don't even hear the Bhagavad Gita. They are not interested. They are more interested in watching the television and reading the newspapers and going to the cinemas. They consider that it's more important information. And those that do hear the Gita, most of them, they hear more in an intellectual style, thinking that they have received some pious credits by hearing it. But how many take it seriously? Understand the urgency of applying these principles to our life? The soul is longing for eternity. The soul is longing to be liberated from this place of birth and death. The soul is longing to be reunited with Krishna, its eternal beloved friend, and the only shelter of all living beings. But we're not willing to listen to the sweet sound of the kirtan of the holy name and the sweet sound of the Lord's words. And we continue in our materialistic activities. And when the combined karma of the world accumulates to such bitter, bitter extent, we must know for certain that there must be massive karmic reaction. We must see the connection that if we violate the laws of God, we must pay the consequences. Krishna has created this earth. He has created this earth only for one reason: to facilitate our loving service to Him, to grow food for Him, to build temples for Him, to build beautiful homes where God-conscious families are living for Him. Everything on this earth is meant for His satisfaction. Every item on this planet is an opportunity given by God to be utilized for our purification, our liberation. We are not using it for that purpose. We are taking the trees and killing them, murdering them. For what purpose? For useless, mundane magazines, literature, newspapers, which have nothing to do with God. We are taking the land, growing leaves for tea, leaves for tobacco, drugs, hashish, cocaine, opium, and most of the grains we're growing to feed cows and lambs and other such animals, simply so we can fatten them up, murder them, drink their blood, and eat their flesh. And due to greed, we are creating all sorts of nuclear contaminations and placing them in the earth, putting all sorts of terrible waste in the waters, filling the air with all sorts of contaminants, even breaking out the very ozone that protects us from the ultraviolet rays of the sun. And mothers all over the world, by the millions every year, are murdering their own children in the womb. And illicit sex in the Western countries is as normal as rising in the morning and taking your breakfast. You're considered foolish, crazy, and abnormal if by the time you're 16 or 17, you're not having illicit sex. There's something wrong with you. But that's not enough. Sex becomes manifest in more and more perverted and degraded forms. What to speak
of violence, intoxication, people drinking alcohol, taking drugs, making big massive crime rings, millions of people murdered and killed, assassinated and robbed. Do we think that we can all come together and perform all these activities and there will be no reaction?
There must be a reaction, and there will be a reaction.
This year, last year, 1992, was the worst year for natural disturbances in the history of the United States of America. The worst flood in history. The Mississippi River swole up to such an extent that it just destroyed millions of people's property completely, drowned out everything. Rampant diseases and hepatitis caused by the drinking of polluted waters. Tens of billions of dollars of damage done to people's homes and places of employment. And the rains just kept pouring down incessantly. Entire agricultural fields, tens and thousands of acres devastated. And while that was going on, simultaneously, in another part of the country, there was the worst drought of the century. Where farmers' crops were just being burnt by the sun. And therefore the food prices go up and the taxes go up. And simultaneously, some of the worst forest fires due to the droughts and intensive heat. Tens and thousands of acres of beautiful forests were burnt to the ground. And just a couple months before that was the century's worst tornado, which devastated entire towns and villages in southern Florida. Total devastation. Not a single home standing out of tens and thousands of homes. Billions of dollars worth of damage. Millions of lives put in a state of total poverty and suffering. And just last winter, there was the worst storm of the century, snowstorm, from Florida up through Canada. The entire eastern half of America was put in standstill. Due to cold, bitter cold weather and torrents of snow. Literally, all airports, all bus systems, all roads for half the entire nation were closed down. Hridayananda remembers that. I also remember that. This all happened last year. Can't we make the connection? There's danger at every step in this material world. Spiritual life is not simply something that we enjoy to do when we have time. Our spiritual life is the greatest, most urgent necessity for our survival. If we live in harmony with the laws of God and we can propagate this way of
thinking. Then it is explained in the scripture, and we have history, how Mother Earth will very peacefully and lovingly provide all our necessities. And these disasters, not only will they not, but they cannot take place. But people are not willing to live in harmony with God's word. They are not willing to use the resources of nature in his loving service. So therefore, these chaotic conditions are inevitable. And every year they're getting worse. So where does that leave us in the reality that we are living in a world that is practically godless? And the nation of India is becoming more and more degraded in this way. And it has always been said that if an Indian or the nation of India deviates from the principles of God, they must suffer reaction far more severe than anyone else in any other place in the world. Why? Because the most knowledge, the most spiritual heritage has been given to all of us here. And with knowledge is responsibility. And that is why we see so much suffering, so much poverty, so many disasters in this land. But we are here, and we are fortunate to be here, because every opportunity is upon us to perfect our lives. And it is a benediction, in one sense, that such disasters and calamities are all around us, because we have to be conscious, if we have any sense of sanity, that it could happen to us. If it could happen to 6,000 people just a couple hours away from here, it could happen to us. In fact, it did happen to us this morning. If Mother Earth would have just trembled slightly more, just slightly more, we would have been statistics. That would be the culmination of our life on this earth, a statistic. That is material existence. Therefore, Krishna consciousness, devotional service to the Lord, is the greatest urgent need of our life now. We think, I'm young, I'm a student, I have a beautiful, healthy young body. Why should I not just learn and learn and learn and enjoy nice friendships, nice social parties and everything else? And when I get older, then I'll become God conscious. But how do you know you will get older? One tremble of the earth, and you and all your loved ones become a statistic. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj has said, Komara acharet pragyo dharaman bhagavataniha durlabam manusam janma tad apyat dhruvam aratadam. That from the earliest age of childhood, this is the time to very seriously begin your spiritual life, and it must continue throughout. Because death can strike at any moment. We are not pessimistic, we are realistic. To associate with devotees of the Lord, to chant the name of the Lord, to utilize all of our God-given facilities in the service of the Lord. This is human life. Human life is so rare, and it's so short. With every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to death, and yet we remain unconscious of the reality around us. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham, that there is danger at every step. So we do not want to simply fill your mind with pessimistic, fearful thoughts, but rather we want to offer to your heart the most optimistic alternative to this utterly pessimistic existence around us. And that is Krishna consciousness. The spiritual world is within our heart. This body must fall prey to old age, disease, and death. Inevitably, it cannot be avoided. We must utilize this body and utilize this mind for the highest purpose of life and not waste any time. Now is the time to surrender to Krishna. Tomorrow may never come. What does it mean to surrender to Krishna? It means to offer our consciousness to him. When we come to the satsang of sincere devotees, we are offering our consciousness to hear his words, to hear his name. When we are at home and we chant on our mala, we are offering our consciousness as a sacrifice to the beautiful sound of his name. When we offer puja, when we go to the temple, we are offering our consciousness at his lotus feet. When we are serving the devotees and serving the Lord through their instructions, consciously we are offering our life. And we must learn the art of connecting everything we do to Krishna consciousness. Yad karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi datasi yad Krishna says, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering of love to me. We hear this airplane flying above us. It has just taken off from the Saha airport in Bombay. Just about at this time, the airline hostesses are announcing, buckle your seatbelt. There are flotation cushions under your seat in case we fall in the water. There are oxygen masks that will come from the ceiling and fall in case there's no air left in the airplane. And there are emergency exits here, here, and here in case you have to jump out. Where are you going to jump from? Where are you going to land after you jump? You're paying thousands and thousands of rupees to go on this plane, and the first thing they tell you is that you may die today. But there is some hope that you'll survive if you put your seatbelt on and understand where the flotation cushions and the exits are. And yet people just listen as if it's just a formality being announced. But it will not happen. But it happens. Krishna consciousness is the truest and highest reality, beyond birth and beyond death. To liberate our soul from the clutches of this material existence is the purpose of life. We cannot compete with material nature. She will defeat us. But before she defeats us, if we surrender to Krishna, then we are victorious. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was about to board the airship to bring him to Vaikuntha, death personified appeared before him, and he used death personified as a step, a stair, to put his head on, to put his foot on the head of death personified in order to board his Vaikuntha airplane, to bring him to the eternal life of the spiritual world. The devotee who always remembers Krishna conquers death. Bajahuremana Srinandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare. And such a devotee who learns to take shelter of the Lord is completely fearless. Why is he fearless? Because he's always remembering Krishna, knowing that where there is Krishna, there can be no birth and there can be no death. That faith is so profound that it can create peace and joy even when everything around is crumbling. Because what's happening? Simply so many transformations of molecular combinations in material nature. That's all so-called death is. That's all destruction is. But such a devotee knows with full faith that my soul is with Krishna. Death for a devotee is simply the door of eternal life opening. There's no fear. Mare Krishna rake ke rake Krishna mare ke. If Krishna wants to protect me, there is no power on earth that can disturb me. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Krishna is the controller of the entire material nature. If he wants me to die, that's the greatest benediction. Let me just remember him and just fall at his lotus feet in the form of death and attain eternal life. And if he wants me to live, no earthquake, no tornado, no power on earth can harm me. This is the faith of a devotee, because this is the truth of a devotee's life. The only real problem in all of creation is the lack of this Krishna consciousness. And the only solution to the real problems of this world, janma mrityu jara vyadhi, is Krishna consciousness. So let us not just be devotees, but let us be very serious devotees. Let us understand the urgency of our sadhana every day. When we sit before our japa mala or before the beautiful form of the Lord, we have to seek shelter. We have to seek refuge, because today may be our last. And we should see how much need there is for this consciousness in this world. And we should be willing to make great sacrifices to reach out to our brothers and sisters and give them the chance to find shelter at the feet of Lord Hari, either directly or to assist those who are dedicating their lives to that purpose. By pleasing Krishna, by satisfying him, by by our humility and service, he will lovingly protect us from all the dangers of this material existence. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that I have seen and considered all these 14 worlds within this universe, and my conclusion is that Krishna, it is only your name and your devotees that can save me. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? So at this time, I would like everyone to rise.